Hello everyone, welcome to another Footmarks. I'm Varun and I'm joined by Jared as always. Today's Footmarks is quite interesting. It might be the most rogue one we've done because so recently, like, there's obviously trade talks happening with IPL teams, isn't there? And Jared obviously hates how trades work in general, but that's a that might be a whole other podcast.
No, I love how trades work. I hate how cricket trades work.
Yeah, you hate, especially IPL trades, right? You despise them. So yes. I don't remember if we discussed this before. I just randomly thought about this because I was like, what would happen if we had trades in Test cricket across history? I think I initially wanted this to be different eras, cross-era trades. Yep. Right? I think you said it might be simpler for us to just do same era for now. And then if this works out well, we can always do cross-era trades as well. And also, yep. Just want to say, in this scenario, I'm going to assume ODIs and T20s don't exist. This is just purely Test cricket, right? Because otherwise, that's just a whole additional level of complication that I can't be asked to deal with, right?
Yeah, I think just from our perspective, like, it makes a lot more sense, yeah, if we're just thinking about the one format. I mean, imagine if you did have cross-format trades, it would be actually wild. I also like the idea of teams in the future of, like, one player playing for one team in one format and playing for another team in another format. But that's, you know, something
for another day. Also, cash trades don't exist. Otherwise, BCCI would just buy everyone, no?
Yeah. And also, obviously, it's trickier for us because we're not factoring in drafts or anything. So it has to be trades where, like, two teams get something out of it. Because you could do a trade. I think, I can't remember who it was. Someone in our group chat said, you know, who would Bangladesh trade for in 1998, right? And I was like, well, they don't have anyone to trade anyone else. But they could say, you can have our best player in 2005, our best player in 2010, our best player in 2015, or our second best player, however you want to rank them, right, at that stage. And you could actually come up with something really, really cool. But we don't really have a structure for that at the moment. So we're literally just looking at players trading spots and trying to make it as fair as possible to both teams. Well, I should say maybe not, but attempting to make
it. Yes, yeah, obviously. So because these trades I have listed down get very complex, so I'm just going to start off at the more simple one. Like, I was thinking about this. I don't know what we landed on. In the current era, Australia obviously don't really have reliable openers, right? Mm. And India will always appreciate fast bowling depth. Would KL Rahul for Scott Bolan be an interesting trade? They're similar ages too, right?
Yeah, I think the problem there is that if you're similar ages as a batter or a bowler, you're not actually similar ages, right? The other problem I think you have with that trade is you need to tell me exactly when you're going to make that trade.
Let's say now. Like, maybe not now because...
So I don't think Cummins, you trade for injured, a 36-year-old seam bowler. Am I wrong?
That's fair. Yeah, I can see the argument there.
Right. I'm not saying no team would ever do it. But if I'm India, wouldn't I be looking at... I was going to say Michael Nisa, but he's about 30. Wouldn't I be looking at Spencer Johnson or Riley Meredith or I was going to say Fergus O'Neill. He might be a little bit slow, but, you know, someone else.
Lance Morris.
Yeah, someone else like that, of, like, something that you don't necessarily have. And I think you want two of them as well. If it's not a Scott Bolan level talent, right? The interesting trade might have been KRO for Jai Richardson, right? Mm. And India just goes, if we get him fit, it's incredible. And if not, okay, we lose a little bit by losing KRL, but we've got four or five other options that we can rotate through that position. And if Jai Richardson comes off, right, like, he could be the second best bowler behind Bumrah, and him and Siraj might be the future leaders of the attack, right? Like, so there's something to be said of that, but you're taking a bit of a punt. So maybe, again, you ask for KRL plus Jai and, let's say, Lance Morris. Would Australia give more? Who's Australia more likely to get rid of, Morris or Meredith? Probably Meredith at the moment,
Meredith,
right?
Yeah, Meredith. Right?
Is that fair?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
That's fair. That is an interesting trade, isn't it? Because you're giving up, let's say, Kara, who probably has, like, if he does what we think he does, he should be good for, like, 3 or 4 years, right? Assuming he has that, like, Graham Gooch level end to his career.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing. He's a fit guy, right? Like, he could drop off straight away. I think if you're Australia, you have to check. You would do your due diligence to see if he is the age he says he is, right? Like, I know that's not always possible, but you would do some work, right, to see, has he fudged his age by a year or two, just because you have to be, you know, have to be careful with that.
Yeah, from my, whatever I know, Karnataka is usually quite reliable with the ages.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you're doing your due diligence, I think you're happy with that. What about KRL for Scott Bolan in 2021?
Yeah, I think we talked about this, right? That's the other one we were thinking of.
I think that's more interesting. Yeah, I think that's more interesting. Because don't you, Because KL's not like a hugely respected player in India at that point, is he?
No, so I think that would be interesting because that's, if I'm remembering, that's when KL makes a comeback. He has England tour and he makes 100 in South Africa, right? But the one of the reasons I don't know if they India would do this because India, I don't think India respects Scott Boland by then, right? India truly start getting into the Scott Boland train after the World Test Championship final.
So when's that? 2023.
Yeah.
He's already 34 then, isn't he?
Yeah, and KL Rahul's not in India's good graces, so they might still be happy with that trade, right? Because KL was dropped by
the... Okay, so if you're Australia then, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if Australia would go for it.
Well, you don't have a great backup. Yeah. Do you flip that trade at that stage? You go, if you want Boland, we're more than happy to give you him, but we also want a young player, right?
Hmm.
So we want a young potential opener. I'm trying to think of someone who wasn't, you know...
The greatest heist Australia would be going Boland for like, I don't know, like a young Jaiswal before he debuts.
See, I don't think you get Jaiswal. I think you need, you probably need someone. I don't think Sai Sadashan was that highly rated in 2023, was he?
No, was he? I don't even know if he plays much by then.
So can you steal? Can you steal a Sadashan? What about this?
It's a guy quad. I'll throw in a guy quad as well.
Guy quad. I was thinking KL Rahul and Prithvi Shaw.
In 2023 or 2021?
In 2023.
2020, like, I don't know if Prithvi Shaw was rated at all by that point, was it?
No, but...
I think is that why you want him?
He's an incredible talent, and you think you can get him fit, right? And you can get him on the right mindset. And you maybe throw in one of these sort of backup-y bowlers as well. So you go, you get Scott Boland and one other decent quality seamer, right? Name unknown at the moment, but you get someone like that, and we get a secondary batter who you... who isn't in your plans to be used in the next couple of years, right? And Australia has to take a punt and hope that they're right and one of them comes off, right? And then they get KL Rahul in the short term and they get a good player in the long term and India get a younger fast bowler coming through and they get an older one now. That's a pretty good trade if I'm India, right? I think to myself, I've got genuine second or third seam bowling option for the next 3 to 4 years, hopefully. We haven't lost much with the bat. Right, we've lost a little bit of flexibility with the wicket-keeping and we've given away someone who isn't in our plans over the next 3 to 4 years and we think we have other backups or other players who will be better or of a similar quality and Australia's like, we get a batter for now and a batter for 4 years' time. Right, so maybe it's not Prithvi Shaw, it might be more, I'm not saying Sai Sadashan directly, but a Sai Sadashan type, right? Like that kind of player who was on the fringes in 2023. So I think if you do that, both teams win,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. They both get exactly what they want. Bumrah has a genuine second option available to him, right? And Australia get a genuine opening batter. And then they both take a flyer on things that they have, you know, that they have backups of, right?
Hmm. So the other trade I was thinking of, I don't know if any teams would go for this, is England need a spinner right now, right?
Yeah,
India trade Kuldeep Yadav for like 3 or 4 English seamers? I don't know. Would that work? Maybe like, I'm thinking someone like Potts or...
I don't think you trade... Sort of, I don't think you trade Kuldeep Yadav, do you? I think you trade Akshar Patel.
Mm. Akshar Patel. Yeah, that's interesting. I like it.
Because...
the other one would be like a Tanush Kotian or Sai Kishore.
Yeah.
Or like one of their backups, right? Yeah.
But if you... How much cricket... How old is Akshar Patel?
34, I want to say.
And how old is Ravi Jadeja?
He's 36, right?
Virat, so how many years are you getting as Akshar Patel as your frontline left-arm finger spinner?
Not that long. That's assuming his bowling is still good for Test cricket, right?
Right. So if you give up Akshar now, right, you're not losing a lot in the future with that. And you still have Kuldeep available to you. Right? Mm. And you still have Sai Kishore and these other, there's the other left-arm finger spinner that Robbie likes as well coming through.
Manav Sutar and there's Harsh Dubey.
Yeah. So there's two other left-arm finger spinner options, maybe three other left-arm finger spinner options if we're going all in, and a left-arm wrist spinner, right? And you've got Washington.
You have Tanush Kotian is an offie as well.
And you've got Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So you get rid of Akshar and you say... Okay, so you want seamers, right? So who do you take for him? Josh Tung?
Let's go with Tung and Potts. Why not?
Oh, you need more than that.
We need more than that? Tung, Potts, and someone else then?
Yeah, it needs to be Tung, Potts. Do you want...
Would they give up Brighton Cass or is he in the first 11?
No, you can't give up Cass, I don't think, for this.
They won't give up Cass.
I mean, I'm not saying they can't. Yeah, mm-hmm. So their frontline bowlers at the moment are Jofra. What about, yeah, Jofra, Wood.
Atkinson.
Cass, Atkinson. So if I'm England, I say those are untouchable, right?
Agreed.
But if you want three of the others with a youngster, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go Josh, Tongue, Potts, I'm trying to think of some of the others that have played.
What's the good farming stock? Josh Hull.
Hull.
Yeah.
Do you give Robertson?
Who's Robinson?
Ollie Robertson?
Ollie Robertson. Oh, Ollie Robertson. If he's still around, I've completely forgot he existed.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, might as well.
Or Sam Cook. Right?
Sam Cook, yeah.
Someone
I think
I'd take
Cook over, well, Robinson probably.
Yeah, but I'm saying someone like that who is a little bit slower, but is still quite important. Now, I think this is worth it for England.
Mm.
Because this changes your side completely. If you have, you can bat, what, Stokes at six,
no,
Smith,
Jamie
at
Smith
seven, and Akshar at eight.
Yeah. Correct, yep, that works.
Right? Then you've got 9, 10, 11 as whichever seamers you want to bring in. And surely they can find three fit seamers fairly consistently over that kind of time. You could even give them, who's the guy from Warwickshire? Oh my God. Who they think's going to come back now? Warwickshire. Ollie Stone.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes.
So Hull or Stone. So they have to keep one of Hull or Stone, right? They're going to keep
they probably keep Stone, I would imagine.
Well, with India's obsession with all-rounders, do you give them Overton?
I don't know would India take Overton?
I mean, I wouldn't, but they like all-rounders, right?
Yeah, Gumbria definitely likes them, so yeah.
So you offer them him. So I think Josh Tongue, like, I would think they would want Josh Tongue because he's not like any Indian bowler. Right, so that's I would take him straight away if I'm India.
I think Potts is also a very useful stock bowler.
I wonder if Potts is too similar to Siraj.
How is he similar to Siraj?
Similar pace, both angling the ball back in, wobble ball guys a little bit.
I think for me, I think like Siraj is still. I wouldn't say Siraj is a stock bowler. So
yeah,
for
maybe.
Me, Potts gives me stock bowler vibes.
Maybe they're slightly different. Different parts of the... I was more thinking release points and everything
okay,
else.
Okay, that's fair.
Then you take one of Holland or Stone, you know, depending on what you're looking for there. And then you take one of the sort of stock seamers that England have 83 of, right?
Yes.
I don't know how old Jamie Porter is, but you just offer them like a bunch of Bhuvi Kumar backups, right? Like if Bhuvi's not going to play anymore. All these other guys. I mean, does India say yes to that?
I think so, because they're not, assuming, again, we're assuming ODIs don't exist, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, I think they might. They probably would, I reckon. I think both teams would like it. Right?
So what does that give you there? That gives, I'm just trying to think if you're India. That means you have Bumrah, Shami, Siraj.
Shreya Bumrah, Shami, Siraj, Prasad, Akash Deep.
Yeah, but then, so then you've
Harshit
got...
Harshit Rana.
Prasad.
Then let's say you have Potts, Tongue, and Stone, I don't know.
It's a pretty good lineup, but... It's almost, I wonder if they might think it's too much. I wonder if it might be worth them trying to get one of Carson Atkinson and you just go, well, we will do Akshar for one of those two. Because England have the depth. They can change things behind the scenes as well. Just say, you tell us which one you want and we'll give you one of those. But that's all you get. Or you get depth. And maybe if it's Tongue, you only get three. If you want Tongue, you can have two other seamers. And if it's not Tongue, we'll give you four. Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Yeah, that works, right?
Yeah.
And the other one would be like a psycho show for one of the New Zealand seamers. Like they have like eight or nine of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, who's the New Zealand seamer you give up?
Like, what was the guy who was doing well versus England recently? Like, is it Folks? That's not him.
Zach Folks.
Zach Folks, yeah, that's him.
How old's psycho show?
It's 30-something, no?
I don't think you give away up a 22-year-old seamer for a 30-year-old spinner, do you?
Oh, is it 22? I didn't realize it was that young.
I could be wrong.
Sayaka Shore is 28, so.
28. I suppose he's a spinner.
How old is Mitsantana?
I'd want, do you know what I would want? I would want, if it's folks, I'd want someone else. Mitch Santner's got to be 35-ish, right? He feels.
Could you not argue that if they get Sayaka Shore, you'd have a decent backup?
I don't know. Can you have Sayaka Shore and Mitch Santner together?
Not in the same team, but like as a backup. Like, you know, Santner's going to go.
Who's the backup, though, in this situation?
Kishore, no?
Well, he's a better bowler than Santner, isn't he?
He probably is a better bowler than Santner, yes. Yes. Not as good a batter.
No, but I'm just saying, if you have Santner, don't you try and get a wrist spinner or an off spinner?
Half a year. I think if I'm India and I want to trade Tanush Kotian, I'd want two bowlers then. I don't think I'd trade Tanush Kotian for just one.
Okay, so where are we here? So yeah, so I think I'm just trying to think of who the New Zealand seamers are over the last little while of like.
What was it? You have Duffy, Folks.
What do we do? If we do the last 2 years of New Zealand seamers.
Just gonna check the recent ODIs, might be the easiest way to know.
Yeah, but we are talking Test cricket. As you've told me.
Yeah, I think it roughly gives me the idea. It's the latest one they played, and I know almost all the frontline attack.
Okay, so you're not giving up Henry O'Rourke?
No, of course not. You won't give up. Would they give up Jameson? I wouldn't think so.
You can't give up Jameson, can you, in case he gets fit again?
Blair Tickner?
You can give up Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Tickner is interesting as well.
Right.
Does Duffy and Tickner get the deal done?
Yeah, for who? Sayaka Shore or Tanush Kotian? I've already forgot which one we're talking about.
Either of them, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely, right? I think that might be too overkill for like Sayaka Shore, because Sayaka Shore is 28, right?
Can you throw in a if you throw in one international quality bowler now and one future one, right? That's the best option for India, isn't it? You get one bowler that you know goes into your rotation straight away, and you know that the other one comes into the future. Can you give them Cougar Line?
for moral reasons. No.
Just like say to Gambia, you like all-rounders.
Okay.
We'll throw Cougar Line in for a second younger spinner. The best one of the other younger spinners as well. I just see if there'd be a bite.
Well, like for who? Like a Rahul Chahar type bowler?
No. For like a really, you just say if you got like, you know, we've had a look at your depth chart. We think this guy's your eighth best young spinner. Mm-hmm. We'll take him for Kugler, right?
Oh, God. Okay.
And just see if they do it. Because the eighth best spinner in India might be the second or third best spinner in New Zealand, right?
I'd imagine so.
So why not just do that and see how you go, right? And might be, as you said as well, what if you get Chahal? Like, what are you losing if you're New Zealand, if it's Cougar Line? You're not going to play him anyway. New Zealand have like a million Cougar Line like type of cricketers anyway. So you get rid of Cougar Line. You don't have to worry about the moral implications anymore. And you pick up a aging spinner or a kid spinner.
Hmm. All right,
I'm not sure if I'm India, I'd go for that. But Gambia, I mean, I wouldn't go for that. But Gambia might go for that, right? Like
Gambia is. We don't know what Gambia is thinking half the time, right?
Cougar Line's a good, you know, he's probably more of an all-rounder than Shardul Thakur, right? I'm not sure he's as good a cricketer, but he's more of an all-rounder, I think, is maybe the way that they would be thinking about. I mean, I definitely wouldn't do that, by the way.
All right. So I think now that we've warmed you guys up with some simple trades, so this is where I think it gets a bit more complicated, Jared. So you
is this because these are ones I made?
Yes. So like I did the easy stuff, which don't like involve a lot of thinking. So Jared just went away for a bit. I just thought he's just not interested. He comes back with one of the most complex trades I think I've seen. Right. So in 1998, okay, pay attention to this, guys. Okay.
I think when we make this, we're gonna have to get Rakshit to make this graphic, right?
Because 100%. This is so complicated.
And I don't know when you copied it because I reckon I edited it as well. Like it wasn't like I put it up once and was happy with it. I kept going back and changing it, Varun.
So you said in 1998, Sri Lanka give up Murli. Okay. New Zealand give up Vittori, Bond, Craig. Is it Craig McMillan and Jeff Allitt? Right.
Yeah.
South Africa give up Ntini, Klusener, and Herschel Gibbs. Australia give up Matthew Elliott, Shane Lee, or Ian Harvey or Brendan Julian, one of them.
Yep.
Stuart Law and like one of their backup batters like Cox, DaVinci or Hills. In this case, South Africa will then get Murali. New Zealand would get Herschel Gibbs, Elliott and Ntini. Sri Lanka would get Shane Lee, well, that sort of all-rounder. Vittori, Bond and Cox, or that sort of batter. Australia would get Klusner and Allitt, right? So that's the, I think that's the trade done, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I'm trying to think of what I edited. Because where does Craig McMillan go? I think we, South Africa get, oh yeah. So I think South Africa get Murali and Craig McMillan, ah, right? Okay. Because they're giving up a lot in this trade. And so they get a little bit back in middle order depth, right? So yes. Okay, so let's talk about why this works. So Sri Lanka go from having the best bowling single bowler of all time to getting a genuine all-rounder that Australia isn't using, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lose Murali, but they get Vittori. Remember, so now they have a bowler who's also an all-rounder, right? So that gives them more depth and flexibility. So they're basically, in terms of bowling, they get a seam bowling all-rounder, they get a spin bowling all-rounder, and they get Shane Bond. Now, we're assuming at this stage that these players would go on to have really good careers. We obviously know in Shane Bond's case, that's not the case, right? But that's not the way I can't do the trades that way, right? In my mind, Brendan Julian and Ian Harvey are quite hot prospects at this stage, around 1998 as well, right? And so that's the way I'm kind of doing all that.
Yeah.
So Sri Lanka go from having Murali to having Vittori, Bond, and let's say Brendan Julian, right?
Given okay.
a left arm. Oh, actually, they might need Brendan Julian, right? Because they've got...
They have us, right?
Yeah. So let's give them Harvey or Lee, yeah, right? Yeah.
Let's go Harvey then.
So they've got three bowlers coming back in this trade, one of which we know is a world-class seamer, one of which we know is a world-class spinner, and then and two of them are all-rounders. And then they also get another top-order batter. So they have... Oh, my God, I forgot
his name. So they get two batters, right?
Yeah, who's their... Marvin Adepatu. So they,
right?
Yeah, so they get Marvin Adepatu, and they get...
Jai Surya will still be around.
Oh, did we give them Stuart Law as well?
Yes, they get Stuart Law.
Right. So they get Stuart Law in their middle order, right, for when they're playing teams who are good with fast bowling. And then they get another opener to put with Marvin Adepatu, and they can, or a top order player to put with Marvin Adepatu. So I would pick probably Cox or Hills, even though I think Devin Uto is maybe slightly stronger, but just because Cox and Hills can open, right? And neither of them go on to play for Australia, and Australia are not thinking they're going to use either of those guys either, but they're definitely both world-class batters, right? They're both incredible players. Okay, so does Sri Lanka do... Let's just forget all the other countries involved in this. Sri Lanka lose Murali. They get all of these things that we just mentioned. They're better against pace bowling in two different positions. They've got two all-rounders, and they've got Shane Bond coming back. Do you do the trade of Murali for all of that if you're Sri Lanka?
In 1998, maybe, because Murali doesn't hit his peak yet.
But they're already pretty...
They're pretty high on him, right? Yeah. They're definitely high on him, but I wonder if... Yeah, they could. Like,
if I'm Sri Lanka, I do this deal. Just think we can find another spinner. Deal, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think
fuck it. Play Herat. We spent a whole podcast talking about Herat.
Right? We went and had a look. We know they have other spins. And also, yes, they're losing out on spin, but if Vittori plays his whole career in Asia, right, are we really that worried about Vittori, you know, as a bowler?
Yeah, but would they be able to play Vittori and Herat most games together?
I think you can because they're very different kinds of spin bowlers.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I just think that they're very different. And so I have no issue with playing the both of them. But that is one of my big concerns. But this is where this gets really fun. And I know you're already like, Jared, it seems quite fun already. By the way, Vittori averaged 28 in Asia. Where this gets really fun is, you can trade Herat next. You wouldn't do it straight away. You'd see how they go together. And if it doesn't work, you can trade Herat as well, right? Like with his first-class bowling average of 20 or whatever, you can give him to England or whoever else needs a spinner, West Indies, right? Get rid of Herat. And you get something back from one of those teams that you also need. So Sri Lanka could get even stronger from this. Okay, so we both think that Sri Lanka are okay with this, right? Okay, so let's now go to South Africa. South Africa get Murali.
You said Craig McMillan, right?
And Craig McMillan. Sorry, you're right.
Yes.
They get Murali and Craig McMillan. And they lose, if I'm not mistaken, Ntini, Klusner and Herschel Gibbs.
Yes.
Right? Now, we've discussed how they don't use Klusner in the right way anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to take the geopolitics out of this because they can't give up Ntini in 1998. Right? they can't. But let's just imagine this is purely a cricket thing. If it's just a cricket thing, I am over the moon if I lose Ntini, Klusner and Herschel Gibbs to Murali. Like, if I'm South Africa, I'm like, yes, please. Mm. Right? Absolutely. Straight away, I'm more than happy for that. Craig McMillan doesn't move the needle, but he's a throw-in because you have to, because New Zealand get a lot in this trade as well. So they don't get to just, they have to lose something, right? Like if I'm the other opposition teams, I'm sorry, you have to throw in something else. You can't just lose Bond and Vettori and upscale here. So if I'm South Africa, I take this. Because I can find other seam bowlers, I can find other seam bowling all-rounders, and I probably don't rate Herschel Gibbs that high at that stage. Wrongly, because by the mid-2000s, we know how good he is. But if I'm South Africa, I'm like, I think this is fair.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile trade, because that's the one weakness that great South African team has, is this lack of spin, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that changes everything. Now they can compete with Australia, yeah?
Yeah. Mm. Definitely.
Straight away, they can compete with Australia. All right. Now, the next team is New Zealand. So New Zealand famously can't get any opening batters. And we give them Herschel Gibbs, Matthew Elliott, and Makaya Ntini. So I see Makaya Ntini and Shane Bond as a direct swap in this, right? And you could also send Makaya Ntini to Sri Lanka if they preferred Makaya Ntini to Shane Bond. So there is a flexibility built into this system a little bit. But you have to get Ntini into this trade in order for South Africa to lose enough.
Sri Lanka give up Stuart Law and they get Ntini, is that what you're saying in this trade?
No, I'm saying you would almost give Sri Lanka the option of whether they want Ntini or Bond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's the best way of kind of doing that, right? And then, as you said, there could be other flexibilities that could come with that. But I've just done it this way. So what does New Zealand get out of this? They lose Vettori and Bond, right? And Craig McMillan and Jeff Allen. Jeff Allen, they probably see as a fringe player and they're not too worried about him, right? They find lots of seamers. So again, I'm not too worried about that. New Zealand lose Vettori, a generational player. But how important is the spinner to New Zealand cricket? They might be thinking, not that important at all, right? That I could be wrong because he's so young and he's going to become an all-rounder. But what they get out of this is, for the first time in their history, a jet opening batting partnership. You've got Herschel Gibbs smashing the ball everywhere at one end, and you've got Matthew Elliott with the widest bat in cricket at the other end, right? Neither of which were needed by their teams at that time or highly valued by their teams, right? And you lose Bond, but you get Ntini. Right, which is a slightly different kind of bowler. Again, at that stage, I think Bond should have been rated higher than Ntini, but Ntini goes on to have the better career. I'm not 100% sure New Zealand do this. They might need something else, right? And maybe what they say is what you just said there is, we would also like Stuart Law, because we see Stuart Law as the better Craig McMillan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that fair?
Then you'd have Fleming. Then you'd have Fleming at three in that team, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so Fleming bats three, Stuart Law Astle bats four, Stuart Law bats five.
They already have Chris Gaines, right? They already have Chris Gaines.
They've already got an all-rounder. That's part of the reason I did this. They have flexibility built in, right, in a way, and they also don't know how good Vettori's going to be, right? They don't know he's going to become a very good bat late in his career. They think he might, but in this particular team, that boosts that New Zealand team straight away. The issue I would have as a New Zealand fan is, does this make us more likely to win games or does it make us more likely to draw games?
Hmm.
So is there another player that perhaps you could put into this that would help them, right? Like maybe a Steve Elworthy type bowler, right? It might be the other trade where I threw in Brett Schultz. I'm not sure South Africa would have got through to Brett Shields. Anyway, I think New Zealand's the iffy team on this trade at the moment, but I also think this makes them a better team than what they were before I did this trade. So they're giving up four players, they're getting three, but one is almost a straight swap, and the other two are massive upgrades for me. But they might ask for an extra bowler from one of the teams just to get this done. And that's when you go back to Australia, right? And you find another,
Andy
Pickle type guy.
So, sorry, going back to that extra bowler thing, would they ask Sri Lanka to throw in Herat?
No, you can't do that if you're Sri Lanka.
Or would you not?
Because if you're Sri Lanka, if you throw away Herat, you're throwing away your two best spinners.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah, I just don't think you can do that. I like your thinking, and I thought about that. I did already think about that one as well. All right.
Would Sri Lanka not have like one of those spinners they just had lying about that they could throw in just as a bonus? Like someone else in their bench?
Yeah. I suppose, what? How old's Kumar Dharmasena at that age? At that time, sorry.
It's a good question.
Right? I was thinking about him. I almost put him in this trade as well.
Would be 27 in 1998. Yeah,
and he's come off winning the 96 World Cup, right?
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's throw him in.
Yeah. I think that's an option. All right. And then Australia get Lance Klusner and Jeff Allett, right? Jeff Allett is just to give them a left-arm bowler because they don't have a lot of left-arm bowlers around, yeah. Right? And that gives them cover if they want to go to England with a left-arm swing bowler. Absolute throw-in in this trade. They're giving up Elliott, one all-rounder, Stuart Law, and Cox and Divinuto. They are not giving up a single frontline player.
Yep. Yeah? They're all four bench players, right?
Yep. And they're getting Lance Klusner, who's a bit of a project player in 98 as a test player anyway, but could be revolutionary for them. Which also means that in our fantasy lineup, Varun, Gilchrist bat 6 and Klusner bat 7, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Good luck. So good luck going through the entire Australia in order and getting to that. And then Klusner gives them the extra bowling that they need, which allows them to use McGill or Colin Miller whenever they want as the secondary spinner.
Yes.
So they get better.
Yeah. So in the similar time period, actually, I think you suggested one more trade, which is much more simple.
Well, wait a minute. Does Australia say yes to this?
I'd imagine they would, right? Because you're giving up four bench players for an all-rounder, which they need. And Klusner is probably a better all-rounder than he and Harvey at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. You definitely pick Klusner over Harvey. I mean, you know, I mean, he was a genuine... I think in 98, people thought he was a frontline bowler, right? And also, he's just a much better bat than... I mean, he can bat six, whereas Harvey's not a six, right?
Yeah.
And I think he has more test bowling chops than Harvey.
So also, if this is 98, you would have Klusner 60 and Harvey in Healy at 7, right?
Yes, but you're about to change to Gilchrist.
You're about to change to Gilchrist.
So, you might not play Klusner in 98 until you have Gilchrist. Well, once you have Gilchrist in, that team just becomes absolutely crazy. So I think perhaps you could gerrymander this and you could find a way to get New Zealand an extra player somehow, an extra bowler. Or maybe they keep Jeff Allett. And you just, you know, and Australia don't need Jeff Allett, right? Because I'm not sure Australia's going to use him anyway. But I think you need to give New Zealand one more bowler, perhaps, in this to make it work. Yeah. If Bond becomes two bowlers rather than one. And as you're right, maybe it is just the Kumar Dharmasena, right?
Or what if Australia give up two all-rounders and then New Zealand get one of them?
Australia give up two all-rounders.
Let's say they give up Brandon Julian and Ian Harvey, and then New Zealand get
because you get Klusner the back, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And then one of those all-rounders goes to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So they probably take Brandon Julian. They get a fast bowler, left arm, who's going to bat at number 8 because they've got Cairns at 6 and they've got Pereira at 7, right? And so that I think that's a good lineup. There we go. I think off the top of my head, if I'm all four of those teams, I'm happy with that. And that's what you're trying to do with the trade, right? Trying to make sure everyone is happy with it.
Yeah, so in 1998, a much simpler trade than what we talked about is I think you suggested Jason Gillespie, Matthew Elliott, and then Love to South Africa for Sean Pollock.
Oh my God, did I? Where's this one? I can't even remember this one.
You did suggest this. I don't remember when you suggested it, but you did.
I thought you were going to talk about the other big one I did. Okay. So
that's later. I think we need some breathing space before we go to that again.
All right. Let me just get this back up because obviously the fans will all see this on the screen, but I need to see it myself. So run me through that one again.
I think you said Jason Gillespie, Matthew Elliott, and is it Martin Love?
Yeah, Martin Love.
Martin Love for Sean Pollock.
I actually think I did a lot of Sean Pollock trades of this as well.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So let's have a look at what this does for South Africa, right? So I think South Africa's bigger problem is top order batting in that period, right?
Yes.
And they have multiple all-rounders. So Pollock for Gillespie, you are not losing all that much with the ball, right? Like, I would say peak Gillespie is not quite at the level as Pollock, but not far away, but maybe even was at the same level. Although peak Pollock probably didn't last as long as peak Gillespie did. They both had injury problems and you know, and Pollock can bowl through them and become slow and everything else. But if we're talking in 1998 as well. So this is after Gillespie bowls in England and we see how fast he is, right? So Australia lose Gillespie, but they add Pollock, which basically, I would say, strengthens their new ball, maybe weakens them with the old ball a little bit. Mm-hmm. They now have the world's best number eight, or I would bat Pollock ahead of Ian Healy. Right? I think he has more impact, but it doesn't matter if he bats ahead of him or behind him, right? You've got in seven and eight, you've got two decent number sevens and one fantastic number eight in any way that you do that. And you're losing Matthew Elliott, who makes their opening batting better. And that also gives Martin Love to South Africa. So has Callis already moved to number four by that stage? I'm assuming he has.
I think it might have been as long on just about to in 98.
Yeah. So either way, it allows you to say, we now have an opener. We now have a first drop. Callis can move to four. Kirsten and Elliott open the batting together. Both left-handers, but one's 6'3" and one's not 6'3". So South Africa get much better batting and Australia get Sean Pollock, which allows them to have kind of anything they want, right? Like, you know, their flexibility with their lineups in the next couple of years is ridiculous. And that means that Warne is going to bat at nine, right? Paul Rifle or Warne bats at nine.
So Australia could then have, let's say they could have Gilly 6, Ian Harvey 7, Sean Pollock at 8, Warne 9, Brett Lee at 10, and Glenn McGrath 11, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, it allows you to be Gilchrist 6, Pollock 7, and then Warne and McGill, or Warne and Miller, anytime they want to bowl them.
Yes.
Right? Like, and then you still have, you're not as strong with the bat, but you have five genuine bowling options every single game from then on in. And you don't even need to use
Harvey. If you're going to Asia, you could have Pollock 7 play three spinners and McGrath 11.
Yep. You could have, Miller, McGill, and
Warne.
And Warne all on the same side. Okay. Does South Africa say yes to this?
I imagine they would, right? Because they're getting a lot out of it.
I think they're a better side, right?
Yeah, because they don't use Pollock's all-roundedness as often as they should have.
But they've got Callis and they've got Klusner. So and they're not even using his all-roundedness. And if I'm in the South African change room, I'm like, let's say that we think that Pollock is a 5% better bowler than Gillespie, which I think is debatable anyway. But let's say that that's what we come up with. You must be thinking to yourself, well, we get two world-class top-order players as well. Right, that both would have walked into the South African side in this period, right? Because this is pre-Smith, right? We're 5 years before Smith comes along, right?
Yeah,
you know, and you can also with Elliott and Love, Elliott can bat at three as well, and Love can be your backup, and you still have more depth than you had before. So I think it's a yes for both sides. This one, cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
I'd do it as well if I'm South Africa, without a doubt.
Yep.
Right? And Australia also don't really lose much, do they? They win because, again, they're giving up two people they just will not use.
Love barely plays, right?
Yeah. And Elliot, I think you're giving up Dizzy for Sean Pollock, is very similar bowler, but much better batter.
Yeah. Elliot might be the sticking point just because Elliot has what he has the big 97, right? He makes all the runs in England. If it's 99 Elliot, I think by that stage, I'm trying to remember when he failed against the West Indies. If it's that Elliot, I think they give him up at a heartbeat, right? But they've got Hayden, Slater, Taylor. Eventually, obviously, they'll use Langer. They've got Cox. They've got Hills, right? Like, does losing Elliot really change all that much to them? I'm going to argue no. So I would just give him up, right? And Love, they don't use Love for years, right? Like, as far as I can remember, I think that Love doesn't play Test cricket until the 2000s. So
does he play Test matches?
Yeah, Love plays not many. He plays a couple of Test matches late in his career. I want to say he might have been around 30 when he gets the game.
Yes, he plays 5.
Yeah.
Yes. Who doesn't play? Was it Stuart Law who doesn't play a Test match?
Stuart Law played one Test, didn't he?
I thought he played one ODIs or more, no?
He played a lot of ODIs. So
I played does play one Test, you're right.
There is a wrinkle in this where this could go horribly wrong for Australia. Do you want to hear what it is?
Go for it.
They look at all the openers available and you say to them, you can't pick Slater, you can't pick Taylor, and you can't pick Hayden. Because I'm pretty sure that Australia would have been like, those are the three that are untouchable, right? I think. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. There is a potentiality that they pick Hussey.
Ooh.
Because if you're looking at backup openers, he's not a star at that point, though. And I think you pick Elliot, right? I think at that stage, I just think if Elliot's already made runs at international level and he's on the table, I think you pick him. But if you're South Africa and you're looking at the thing, you might be like, this young Western Australian guy looks okay as well. Chris Rogers also would have been available around that period. Anyway, I think we found another trade where you can argue that both teams should make it.
Yes. All right, so 2000. Let's go to, again, it's a big trade again.
Right? Whoa!
Australia.
Who are the teams? Just tell us the teams who are involved first.
Okay, so we have Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa this time.
So just a three-team trade. See, I feel like I've pulled that one back.
Yeah, much less complex, I think. Yeah, right? So Australia give up Shane Warne. Already, what? Like,
who would do that?
Already, but it's a bit of a crazy one already, right? New Zealand give up Dan Vettori. Okay. South Africa give up Sean Pollock, Herschel Gibbs. Is it Deepener, Elverdy, Boye, and Schultz?
Yeah. Do you need me to explain some of those cricketers to you?
I've heard of Deepener before, but I don't have no idea about most of them. I know Nicky Boye, I know Pollock, I know Gibbs. No idea about Schultz.
Okay, Brett Schultz was a 90-mile-an-hour left-arm seamer.
Ah, okay.
Right, who basically never bowled. if you can look him up now, you'll be able to tell me how many times he played in Test cricket, and I'm assuming it was not much. Boye as well, didn't we, in that list, right? So I'm going to assume, why can't I find this trade?
He plays 9 Test matches, takes 37 wickets at 20.
Yeah, it's a tough trade, isn't it?
That is a tough trade. Why does he not play more?
Injury.
Ah, makes sense.
So you got Pollock, you've got Boye, you've got Bota Deepener.
So I have a question for you. Would you trade a 30-year-old Schultz in that point? Is that a worthwhile option to get back?
I think you're trading him as a reclamation project, right? You're saying, we don't know if he's going to come good. Maybe he'll have better luck if in a different system. We know what he's worth. Every team in the world will want him, but that's the way that we are at the moment, right? So Pollock, Boye, Deepener, Elworthy, Schultz. Did I throw anyone else in from South Africa?
Pollock, Gibbs, I think.
Oh my God. I'm out of control. Someone's going to stop me.
That might be crazy trade yard, yeah.
Okay, right. So what is wrong with me and why do I do these things? Okay. Who gets
who? Should I tell you who gets who? Okay.
Yeah, please.
So Australia get Pollock and Vettori. South Africa get Warne.
Australia get Pollock and Vettori. Yep.
South Africa get Warne.
Yep.
And New Zealand get Gibbs, Deepener, Elworthy, Boye, and Schultz.
Gibbs, Elworthy, Boye, Dip, and Schultz. All right. Do you want me to try and explain all this now?
Yes, because it seems like that's a horrible trade for South Africa on paper.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, forget the others. I think you're giving up Pollock and Gibbs for Warne, right?
I would give up Pollock and Gibbs for Warne in a heartbeat. You can't find another Warne.
You can't find another Pollock, though, can you?
But they don't even, as we've already discussed, they're not even using him effectively.
Yeah, fair, I guess.
Well, you know, look at the kinds of teams they had. This is year 2000, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming Mekhi Rantini is doing okay by this point.
Mekhi Rantini. Would Donald be on his last legs?
Donald is still bowling. So you got right. Mekhi Rantini, Donald. You've got Klusner and you've got Callis, right?
Right.
That's a lot of seam bowling in a country that is producing seam bowlers out its ass.
Yes.
Right? I don't know how old Andre Nell is at this point. Mm-hmm. He's probably a little bit too young. But I think there will be more and more kind of guys coming through as well. So maybe if you looked at 2000 to 2003, you got, is Roger Telemarcus? Is he around? Are we, you know?
So Andre Nell would be 23 in 2000.
Okay. So am I not looking at that going, we have multiple options coming through? They had another young African bowler, a black African bowler as well, I reckon, in that period, of which the name escapes me.
Yeah, I feel like I remember looking him up recently.
Yeah. So I think they had options. I'm just going to have a look at 2000 to 2004 just to see who they've got coming through. Oh, they got Nancy Hayward as well. Mm-hmm. Andre Nell, who we mentioned. Don't know who this is. Pretorius? We've already mentioned Elworthy's in the trade, so they lose it. Oh, Charles Willoughby? Is it Charles Willoughby? Is Charles Willoughby in it?
Who's not Pollard?
Yeah, they've got Dewald Pretorius, who I think was, I want to say, a prospect that they thought a lot of, and it didn't quite work. But he takes 200. Is
Zondeki the one you're thinking of?
Zondeki. I think there's another one as well, by the way. Charles Willoughby. Okay. So Dewald Pretorius, right, takes 200 wickets in first class cricket at 27. Mm-hmm. Charles Willoughby takes 800 wickets at 26, right? You see what I'm saying here? They've got options. So this is the way I'm looking at it. Okay, the first question, I think, let's get... Okay, do you want to start with South Africa? So South Africa are losing Pollock. Mm-hmm. What other... They're probably... When it was Schultz's last test, they've probably given up on Schultz by that point.
99, I think. I just saw this. Yeah, or 98 or 99.
Okay, that might be a sticking point because they might be like, no, we can still bring him back, right? Like, I don't know. I can't remember what injury he had in that period, right? Might be a bit of a sticking point, right? Elworthy, I chatted to Steve Elworthy the other day. Sorry, Steve, if you're watching this, but I don't think you've got any issue with trading away Elworthy, right? Like, very good. Elworthy's a proper backup seamer, right? Like, really respectable, but a backup seamer. Nicky Bowyer. You have Paul Adams at that point, right? And Nicky Bowyer, I just think you could find another Nicky Bowyer if you have to, you know. So I'm not too worried about that. Bota Dipana, again, I reckon by that stage in his career, he's a bit of a flawed batter. They're not too worried about losing him. And as we said before, I'm not sure how highly they rated Gibbs, but also they had middle order batting, right? So even though Gibbs goes and eventually becomes an opener, which is obviously what he's going to do in New Zealand for us, right? That's why New Zealand want him. I'm looking at that going, I'm losing Pollock, maybe a regenerated Schultz and Herschel Gibbs. Everything else is what they call in NBA trades, flotsam. You're just throwing it in because you have to put more things in order to make it look like the trade works. Mm. Right?
Yes.
And for that, I'm getting Shane Warne, the thing I can never recreate and I will never be able to recreate ever again at all in my life. So where does Shane Warne bat? He bats where Pollock does. He's not as good as Pollock, right? But he's not shit. He's not a shit. If he bats at number 9, which is probably where they're going to bat him because they don't understand how to maximize their batting lineup, right? If he bats at number 9, he's the world's best number 9, isn't he?
Yes, Warne? I'd imagine.
Right? Yeah. Like it's him or...
It would be him or Lee, right?
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to think if there's someone else. Like, he's a really good number 9. So they've still got batting all the way down to number 9. They now have the one thing they've never been able to have before, right? Mm. I just do this in a heartbeat if I'm South Africa. And I'm willing to take that Warne's a little bit older, he's had some injury problems, but Sean Pollock's not bowling at 90 miles an hour in the year 2000. He's already started to stiffen up a little bit, right? Mm. I'm okay with it.
All right, you sold me.
Okay, so yes. We say South Africa's a yes.
Yes.
New Zealand in this. Now, New Zealand, they're giving up Vettori, right? they are getting back a bunch of projecty players, right? So Gibbs Fixer opening batting. Elworthy probably, I'm trying to think the 2000 bowling lineup. I think he probably walks in as their third best seamer, right? Yeah. They hope that they can reach. Right? Hey?
They still have Bond, won't they?
They're going to have Bond, right?
Yeah.
So they've got Bond. They've got the commentator whose name I've completely forgotten, who commentates every single cricket game in the world. Oh, my God. Why can't I think of the New Zealand cricket commentator's name? Again, I know him, and he's going to think
Simon
of
Simon Dool?
Simon Dool. They've got Simon Dool. They've got Dion Nash. I don't know if Kyle Mills is around. He might not be around at that stage, right? Steve Elworthy fits into that. He doesn't change it. Right. But again, right. You're New Zealand, right? And you are getting backups there. But with your batting, you're getting Gibbs and Dipinder, right? Yep. Maybe to make this trade work, Australia needs to give away another sort of Cox, Hills, DiVenuto type cricketer, right? Rogers.
Yeah, I'd imagine maybe. So.
Right? Fine. Yeah. So New Zealand get two openers. They get Bota Dipinder at the top of their order, right? They get Elworthy as their third or fourth seamer. They get Brett Schultz, who if he comes good, is going to be anything, right? And they get Nicky Beaulieu. I would argue that Nicky Beaulieu is the Walmart Dan Vettori.
Yeah, especially at 2000. I'd imagine there's not much between them.
Right? And a brilliant fielder as well. And they're thinking, what we want is opening batters and seam, right?
Yeah.
So if they get Gibbs, Cox, Bota Dipinder, that's three really good batters. They get Nicky Beaulieu, so a slight downgrade on that. And then with Elworthy and Schultz, they get a seamer that's going to come straight in and help them take wickets, and potentially a seamer who could be... Imagine if... I mean, you've never seen Brett Schultz bowl. Brett Schultz is like a muscular Wasim Akram, right? Like stronger, bigger version, right? Like, you know, a bit like a late career Wasim Akram, if I'm being honest, but like a more of a, like a, like a Ryan Harris left armor.
Ooh. Right? Like a solid chunk of meat. Like a solid slab of meat, right?
If you've got him at one end and you've got Shane Bond at the other end, right? I just, you know, good. Then Elworthy and Dool and Dion Nash and whatever, they're just gravy, right? So I'm not sure on New Zealand. I'm going to put a question mark on New Zealand, but they get a lot of players back for Vittoria this trade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, Australia. Australia have got rid of Shane Warne, and they now have Dan Vettori and Sean Pollock in 2000. So there's some things you need to know about this, Foreign. One of those things is that in 2000, that's after Shane Warne's shoulder injury.
Right.
Right? And Australia doesn't, and he's already had the big finger injury as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They would be looking at Vettori, who's now already an international cricketer of some repute, right? Who's taken a 5 for in at the WACA, maybe before our trade, hopefully. and thinking to themselves, and Steve Waugh's decided that he doesn't care about Shane Warne. He cares about pace bowling. Shane Warne's almost a stock bowler under Steve Waugh at times, right? Wouldn't you just bring in a stock bowler who's Vettori? And now you've got Pollock as well. So Gilchrist at 6, Vettori at 7, Pollock at 8, or vice versa at the first part of their careers with that.
And you could still use
McGill.
I was about to say, let's say at that point they're like, okay, Vettori is so young, we'll use him in a bit. You could still have Pollock 7. What am I forgetting here? Like McGill 8, like Brettley 8, McGill 9. Let's say Dizzy and McGrath, right? Getting 5 bowlers.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you can actually do multiple different options, I think, there with that all the way through. So, do Australia trade Shane Warne for Sean Pollock and Dan Vettori?
I think it's a fair enough trade, I think, now that we've seen that, right?
I think, obviously they wouldn't do it. Like, we all understand that there's a, you know, this is like the Ntidi trade before. Like, South Africa's not getting rid of Ntidi. But if you're just trying to make your team better.
So, Dan Vettori is 5 for... comes in 2001.
What a bastard. I've never been more disappointed in Dan Vettori than this one. I think if I'm Australia, the flexibility that gives me with lineups going ahead, it also gives me the best new ball combination maybe ever.
Yeah.
Right? And you add in the all-round ability with that as well. I just don't know how you say no to that, right? Now, you probably do because you can't make another Warn. But surely Australia's going, but we get Vettori and we have McGill. And in 2000, has Colin Miller started playing by 2000 as well? Like,
he plays in 2001, right?
Okay, so you're not, I don't think Colin Miller's quite on your verge then, if that's the case. Let's just have a look at his first test. His first test is 98. No, so he's on the side.
Oh, cool, perfect.
So, Vettori, Miller, and McGill, that's an interesting lineup to take to Asia, right?
Mm.
Three different spinners.
I think I prefer the lineup with Pollock at seven and let's say Lee at eight and one spinner. I think that would still be, you'd still probably take more wickets than with Warne and four bowlers, right?
I think you could do that in certain places. I think the way that, you're right. Thinking of Steve Waugh and the way he thinks about things, because you can use Mark Waugh's spin. You've got, I'm trying to think who else is in that top six.
I'm assuming this is in center. Like in Asia, you take the second or third spinner.
Yeah. Right? No, you're right. Yeah. So you use Mark Waugh's spin. Is Andrew Symonds, when does he, starts playing a lot later than that, doesn't he?
Then I think that's late 90s is when he debuts.
Yeah, in Test cricket though?
I'm not sure about Test cricket. No idea about Test cricket.
Yeah, I'm trying
to think. Test cricket, 2004?
I think it's later. But if you wanted to anyway, maybe if you wanted to, you bring Symonds in. Let's have a look at Test cricket here. Symonds plays his first test in 2004. If you wanted to, though, you could bring him in, and you've got Mark Waugh and Symonds as your backup spinners, right? And you've got a batting lineup that is Symonds, Gilchrist, Pollock at 6, 7, 8 if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So you've gone through all of Australia's top order, and then that comes out. Symonds, Gilchrist and Pollock, and they're just all hitting boundaries out of their ass against you.
Oh, Alec, we could bring our man Ian Harvey in again and go Ian Harvey 7, Pollock at 8, and then let's say maybe not play Dizzy or Liu.
Yeah. If you've got Pollock, Harvey and Vettori.
Because you could make an argument Pollock, McGrath and Dizzy is already too redundant with the new ball. And Lee, not Dizzy, is already too redundant with the new ball because we know Bradley needs the new ball, right?
Yeah. Okay, so think about it this way. If you had Gilchrist at 6,
who's a Harvey, about it? Pollock or Harvey?
Harvey at 7, Vettori at 8, Pollock at 9, McGill and McGrath?
McGill, McGrath? I don't know if I have Vettori in this, do I? What the hell did I have? So I had
Gillespie instead of Vettori.
No, I had Pollock at 7. Yes, I had Gillespie instead of... I didn't have Brett Lee.
But you could drop McGill as well. You could drop McGill for... You could have three paces, two spinners.
I think McGill and Harvey's too defensive for my liking. I want a bit more strike bowling in that.
Vettori and Harvey
is too defensive for my liking.
I think you can make... If you're Australia, you could probably make the conversation there that you can use them interchangeably, right? When it's going to swing or seam, you bring Harvey in. And when it's going to spin or be flat, you bring in Vettori. I still think Vettori gets into this side. I think if I'm Steve Waugh, I'm like, wait, you're going to give me a left-arm finger spinner who no one's going to be able to score off and will occasionally take wickets forever. And he can bat at number 7. I just think they're taking that option when they can. But I also understand the difference. I suppose what this does is, and this is why we talk about trades like this. What it really gives Australia more than anything else is an incredible flexibility, right? Whereas they're not as flexible with Warne, right? They might have a higher top end with Warne and McGrath as a partnership. But this, because Pollock is taking so many new ball wickets, right? The spinner is not as important. And so a stock spinner and bringing Pollock and Gillespie and Lee and McGrath back into bowl, second and third spells, with a stock bowler at one end, it's like, good luck.
So I think that's all the trades I had. Is there any other top of your head you just randomly thought of? I forgot one. I think in that time period, Heath Streak for Stuart Law, Jamie Cox and Dean Hills, you said.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. I've got to clear my whiteboard and start again. Okay, so it's Australia, Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And we're saying, 98 again? I don't know why all of mine are 98, but...
Interesting time to trade that, I think.
Okay, so Australia gets Streak.
Right.
And Zimbabwe get... Give me those names again.
Stuart Law, Jamie Cox, and Dean Hills.
I'm going to change one of Hills for Divanuto.
Okay.
One of those two. Because I think they want a number three. Because they had Alistair Campbell at number three. So DiVincenzo could even bat four in that side. And you've got Grant Flower to open up, right? So you're putting Grant Flower with one of Cox or Hills, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting Stuart Law to bat at five so that Andy Flower can bat at six, or you're getting Stuart Law to bat at six if you want. I think you probably have to give back an all-rounder, looking at this now, as well, if you're Australia. Like an all-rounder you're not going to use. So
okay. Let's have Brendan Julian again. I think he's been our guy.
Sorry, BJ. I've never met Brendan Julian, actually, but like I am apologising because he's been thrown around in some trades here. I think if you get Law, that means you can use Andy Flower better, right? And you can be a bit more flexible with Andy Flower. If you get Cox, that gives you the ability to actually have a strong opening partnership. If you get DiVincenzo, you can have him as an attacking number three, which you might need because they were so defensive. Yeah, that batting lineup is ridiculously defensive, right? And then with Julian, it means that you can replace some of Heath Streak in, you know, to use a Moneyball phrase, in the aggregate. He does some of the things that Heath Streak does. I don't think he does any of them as well. Otherwise, Australia would have used Julian more, right? But it gives him a left armer, which I don't remember them. They had David, that the ambidextrous bowler. Was it David Brain? It might have been Brian Vittori. They had one left arm bowler that I can think of, right? But they didn't have a lot of that. Also, Julian's quite quick and everything. He's going to bat at number eight. If you're Australia, do you take a punt on that just to be like, we don't need any of these players. And if Heath Streak can bat at number eight, right? We then Warne bats at nine or rifle. You basically bring Heath Streak in for rifle in 1998, and you have him as that the third seamer for about 3 years.
Okay.
Where you have Warne at nine, right? And you have a different kind of
how good a batter was he? Like, I'm assuming he's worse than Pollock. You can't bat him at seven, I'm assuming. Heath Streak.
No, I don't think so.
Late career Heath Streak
became a very good batter when he became captain. Is my memory.
Again, bringing back to this point, could we have Ian Harvey 7, Heath Streak 8? So that way you're getting, like, you're not really losing. Between the both of them, you're getting a decent number 7.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I've been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting. Yeah. Yeah, I think you can do that. Because he's a different kind of bowler than Harvey as well, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And you've also then got slightly more attacking boundary hitting options. And then Warne comes in at nine. So what you're doing there is you're replacing Damien Fleming, Paul Rifle with I don't know what Damien Fleming's bowling average was, but Heath Streak's bowling average is, I think, similar to those two guys. But you're upgrading the batting a little bit more. And I just think that Heath Streak's a more useful bowler than Paul Rifle. Paul Rifle, you could actually trade Paul Rifle to England, right? Because he's a much more useful bowler to England. And also, you know, he's probably a little bit older by that point. I just think this is a fun one where you can make the Zimbabwean team better by getting rid of their best player and getting them back four players for it, right? Or not their best player, the second best player, and getting them back four players for it. And they get better. And Australia takes a punt on Heath Streak, right? And, you know, maybe you throw in... How old's Andy Blignaught?
I don't know who that is.
In 1998. Yeah, Andy Blignaught's a young all-rounder that eventually tried to play for Australia, by the way. I think maybe you throw in Andy Blignaught as well, and Australia's like, okay, so now we have Heath Streak, sort of prime Heath Streak for the next 3 or 4 years. We haven't lost anything in this trade, right? And if... Paul Rifle's better than Heath Streak. We go with Paul Rifle anyway. And now we've got a backup for Paul Rifle because he gets injured a lot. And we've got Andy Blignaught, who we get into our system straight away, and we try and get him ready for international cricket as soon as possible, because he's a fast bowler who can also bat a little bit.
Yes. So the other interesting trade I had in mind was, I just thought of this, so I don't know if it's not fully fledged. So in about 2007, could, let's say, the Indian team trade a few batters for Shakib?
Okay, so 2007. All right. So India. So do they need Shakib?
They don't have a fifth bowler, right?
Oh, okay. I see where you're going here. Okay, yeah. So India get Shakib. All right.
So they, you could either give them a main battle, or let's see, if you don't.
You have to give a lot back to Bangladesh,
how
about, don't you?
How much did they rate him, Shakib, in 2007?
Yeah, he was like, wasn't he like, it was him and Ashraful and Tamim were like the future, weren't they? Like, I'm pretty sure they were pretty high. When did Shakib make his test debut? 06?
2007. It's 2007. I just checked. So
I reckon by that stage, it's pretty high. So, okay, so if you're India...
I was thinking, could you give, would you, do you reckon if you're Bangladesh, you'd ask for a frontline Indian batter, or would you be happy with someone like Anmol Majumdar or like Badrinath, that sort of fringe batters who are clearly good enough to play, but just couldn't because the batting was too strong in that point?
There's two ways to think about this, right? Yeah. One way is, what would India say? But also, like, what is Bangladesh really trying to get out of this? If I'm Bangladesh, I want five players back, right?
Five, okay.
Yep. I want five players back. And the reason I want five players back is because I want to be able to completely change my fortunes going ahead, right? I want to be in a situation where because they've never had depth before, right?
No.
So a trade like this gives them depth in a way that they've never had before if they do it correctly. So if that's the case, I probably want fringier players, right?
Let's say Majumdar, Badrinath, would India throw in Murali Karthik? But they don't use him much.
I would ask for him because I'm losing. I mean, to be honest,
you're losing Shakib.
It might be the worst trade in history if Bangladesh trade for a left arm finger spinner. But maybe you think if he's better, do you know what I mean? Like, not better, but if he's available, does that not make it? That means you haven't lost anything with a left arm finger spinner then. So, okay. Yeah. So you take, if you're Bangladesh, you take Murali.
Murali. Right?
Well, Murali Karthik.
Oh, Murali Karthik. Right? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, did you take Murali as well? okay. Is Jaffa too high? Plays 24 tests from 06 to 08.
I don't think he's ever, like, solid.
All right. So I'm asking for Jaffa.
Okay. Let's say Jaffa. I'll throw in Majumdar and Badrinath. They're like, yeah, I think Badrinath, they're fringe middle order backups, I think.
So Badrinath and Majumdar.
Yeah. Shout out to Majumdar for winning the World Cup with India at the moment.
Yeah, he's just in the news everywhere now. Okay, I don't think you give up Murali VJ.
No, I don't think I'd give up any of the young batters.
Do you go for Dinesh Karthik?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Dhoni's in the team. He's not playing.
I think you go for one of DK or Jaffa.
Would they give up Safa? Would they give up Saha at that point in India? I don't know if Saha's even around, but would they give him up if he was?
I don't know if you want Saha, though, because they have a wicketkeeper as well, don't they? Bangladesh, a young wicketkeeper at that stage.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think if it's Dinesh Karthik, you might do it.
I don't think India would give up Yuvraj Singh in mid-end test cricket.
Nah, definitely not. Definitely not. Nah,
they would. Could they Muhammad take Kaif? Raina? Would they take Raina?
Do you give up Raina in 2007?
Assuming only test cricket, it's an interesting option, right?
Because I'm taking Raina if I've watched him in the net. Mohammad Kaif?
Kaif, yeah. Agreed.
But some of these players are real players.
Yeah. They'd all be better than almost anyone Bangladesh had in that period, I'd imagine.
Okay. So you've got Murali Karthik.
I think Karthik is definite certainty for me in this trade.
Let's get rid of DK for a minute. Let's take Wasim Jaffa. So Murali Karthik, Wasim Jaffa. You've got Badrinath. We both agree that's going.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
I'd take Majumdar. Without a doubt.
Majumdar there. And then you take one of Raina, KF, Akash Chopra. What's Shikhar Dhawan's reputation at that point?
That would be, when was this? 2007. He was coming off an elite under-19 tournament in 2004, but not in the Indian team yet.
Yep.
So they might give him up in test cricket. I don't think they ever rated him the highly in first-class cricket.
All right, can I give you another one?
Go ahead.
Irfan Pathan.
I think he's probably washed by then, right? I think he's getting injured a lot. I don't know if they would give him up though, Jared. Yeah. I think they'd be like, okay, he's injury prone, but we'll keep him.
But we'll keep him. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking we've completely revolutionized their batting here, but we haven't.
And India get a decent fifth bowler, right?
So I think you have to take Murali Karthik, right?
Yeah.
If you take Jaffa, Badrinath, Majumdar, and then one of Raina, KF, Shikhar, Chopra, I think you're pretty happy with that trade, right? And if you're India, and you've got Dhoni, you back Dhoni at 6 and you back Shakib at 7 or vice versa,
yeah,
right?
And then you have Kumble and Bhaji at 8 and 9 in Indian conditions.
And then when you're going away from home, you don't need to use either of them.
Yes. I think both teams are pretty happy. Bangladesh become a much better side overnight. India sought the one weakness they have in that era, which is lack of taking wickets, right? Because
without losing anything. It's like the heat streak trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not losing anything there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think both sides say yes. If I'm Bangladesh, I'm like, team's going to find it hard to bowl us out now.
Mm.
Right? And we've got another left-arm finger spinner who's probably a better bowler. Like, having seen Murali Karthik and Shakib, I think Murali Karthik's probably a better bowler, all things considered. This is my personal view. I don't think there's a lot between them.
Yeah.
But you're not losing a lot on the bowling. You are losing a generational all-rounder. But in order to lose that generational all-rounder, you're getting lots of younger batting talent, right? Like, yeah. Maybe the only thing I would say here is...
You're getting two guys at the peak.
I want a lot of batters between the age of 20 and 24. And I don't know the ages of all these different guys we just went through there.
I think Majumdar would be around 30 by then, I'd imagine. Yeah.
So I'd probably say no to him.
I'd actually, if I'm Bangladesh, I'd want two guys at their peak and two young batters and one Murali Karthik.
Yeah. No, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I like that trade. I think that makes sense.
Let's say you take Badrinath and Jaffer, because I think you'd want a top order player at that point, right? Because you don't want all the middle order guys. And then you take one, like two of Raina, Dhawan, DK, Kev.
Yeah.
And then you're getting a good age curve out of them, right?
Yeah. I don't want anyone over the age of 28, though.
Mm.
If I get players in their peak, I want it at 26, 27, 28. That's because I'm building a young core.
That's
right. What I really want is people who can make test runs now who are going to make test runs in 5 to 6 years' time as well. So I don't want people who are going to be 36, 37.
I'm just thinking in that period, if there's a three-way trade we can do with the side that can afford to give up, let's say, fast bowlers.
So 2007, who has
fast bowlers? Would it
it's
to
already,
be South
always going
to
be South Africa, right?
Yeah, it's always going to be South Africa. I don't know what South Africa would need in this trade from any of them.
Well, they need a spinner.
I don't know. Who do they get then?
How old is Ashwin at that point, 2007?
I don't think he must not have debuted. He can't have debuted by then, can he?
Yeah, you give them a spinner.
I don't even know who India's fourth spinner is. Is Pragyan Ooja around?
He was definitely around, yeah.
In 2007, would it be making his debut? I don't know what South
Africa. 2007, he might not be around, but he's around as in
people will know he plays.
Yeah.
People know he exists, right? Yeah.
Piyush Chawla?
Piyush Chawla, yeah. He's interesting too.
And then who? South Africa give up what? Wagner, Mitch Clayton. Is Mitch Clayton? I think Mitch Clayton's South African.
Yeah.
They
give up someone, one of the fringe bowlers. They get an easy spinner out of this, right? And then
Mitch Clayton's Australian, maybe. No, Mitch Clayton's Australian. Sorry. I knew he wasn't English. I knew he was born somewhere else. But yeah,
so
you
India
give up.
Would be giving up five players to Bangladesh and one fringe spinner to South Africa. South Africa's pacer would then go to Bangladesh, and Bangladesh obviously get the guys from India. If you're India, would you want someone from South Africa too?
So South Africa get Murali Karthik in this.
Did they? I thought he's going to Bangladesh.
Well, I'm saying now, is there a way of giving him, you give Murali Karthik to South Africa and you give two seamers to, South Africa, to Bangladesh.
Then what do India get?
Getting Shakib. Why do they care?
Yeah, fair. That's true. I don't mind that.
I mean, you could if you wanted to, I suppose. If you're India, you might say we want one of the seamers coming back from South Africa.
Mm. So let's say India give up four batters and Murali Karthik and Pragyan Ooja, and then Bangladesh get Pragyan Ooja. Is that what you're saying? And
you could do that as well. You could do that as well. Yeah. The minute South Africa's involved, I want seamers though, don't I?
Yeah, you definitely want seamers, right? Oh, so what if would South Africa outbid India for Shakib?
Oh, would they, shit.
Would South Africa go, we'll give you three or four seamers for Shakib? Like fringe ones, maybe. Like,
okay, so they're giving up what? Colin Ingram. So who are the other batters? Dale Benkenstein. Mm-hmm.
And you're throwing two fringe seamers, right?
So you probably got three batters who are good enough, right?
Right.
Who,
you know, I was dooming in that era.
Yeah. I think they've got enough. If you go through the cold pack guys, I think they've got more than enough batters, right, to be able to offer. Mm. And then you offer Neil Wagner and a couple of other seamers on top of him. As I said, sort of Martin De Lange, Kyle Abbott type, you know, I'm not even that level. It could be the level below them, right?
Mm.
You offer three batters and two seamers, right? And they're all fringe players that you're not expecting to use.
Mm.
Maybe that's the better trade. Because if I'm Bangladesh, I'm backing that I'm going to be able to find another left arm spinner.
Yeah.
Right? But what I can't do at the moment is find genuine batting talent. And three South African batters is going to really help that lineup, right? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, they had not had a seamer. Unless so you got Murtaza coming through, might have just started to play. You got Murtaza, Neil Wagner / Martin De Lange, right? Like, that's now a funky team. I don't know how many test matches is winning, but it's not shit, right? Whereas with Shakib, they were still shit, right? Like,
that's true.
You know,
you're getting more wickets, right? I think, as we keep saying, it's better to have an even bowling attack.
Okay, I think if you're going to do one more thing, you have to have. You have to ask for an all-rounder back.
From South Africa?
Yeah, so you have to, because you're losing all-rounder. So you need a David Visa.
Wayne Parnell?
God, what's the big, Wayne Parnell.
Albie Moko?
One of them. There's a guy, there's an all-rounder who plays for Durban, who played for them for years, who's really, really good, big guy. As well, South Africans will know who I mean. That kind of guy. I want to say Ricky someone. I met him when we were over there. So I think they've had... No, it's not Ricky.
Ricky, is it? No. I don't know who that is.
Durban all-rounder captain. Let's see if I can find this. But yeah, those sorts of guys. Anyway, as you said, Albie Moko, David Wiesa. Obus Pinar, I'm pronouncing that really badly, so I apologize to all the people who are aware of that. They've got plenty of those players. I think I need one of those back just to give me a little bit more flexibility in my lineup. So that's where I'm going with that. I want two bats, one all-rounder who can bowl seam, and two seamers.
I like it.
So I don't
care if they get a genuine spinner.
Yeah.
In that point,
I don't think you need a genuine spinner though. I just think you back the fact that you're going to find spinners.
No, not not Bangladesh. I mean, South Africa get a spinner.
Yeah, South Africa get what? Callis and Shakib give them all the flexibility they ever want, and they get a home and away spinner, right?
Yeah.
Like who's their keeper in 07? Is it Boucher still?
I think it has to be Boucher.
So Shakib bats ahead of Boucher, right? Without any doubt.
Imagine so, yeah.
So then Boucher becomes a world-class number eight with what, Sean Pollock still hanging on at number nine, maybe. I'm trying to think of the age curves of some of those guys.
Pollock must be on his last legs by then.
I'd have to go back and have a look at that. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, what? You've got
Shakib
and Callis. Yeah,
Morkel by then, right?
Yeah.
That's a good, great bowling attack then.
Because who's their best spinner in that period? Paul Harris?
Yeah, I always get Paul Harris and Paul Adams confused every time.
They're about a foot and a half different in height before you even get to skin tone.
the names are that.
Yeah, Pollock plays at the end of 2008. So you don't get a lot of Pollock. But you get Callis and Shakib for quite a few years. You know, 5 or 6 years. And then also, you also get backup for the fact that when Callis goes, you know you have another all-rounder coming through.
Definitely.
So you don't lose the flexibility. That was the big problem with South Africa, right? When Callis stops bowling, they completely lose their flexibility and they have to play, you know, Robin Peterson and Ryan McLaren and, you know,
Philander batted at seven in a few games, I remember.
Stian van Zyl and all these guys. Yeah. Whereas if you can just, you know, JP Duminy played as a all-rounder, I reckon, a couple of times as well. So if you can just put Shakib in there, game over. And I think you're right. I think if I'm Bangladesh, I asked for JP Duminy. So I asked for, because I get a little bit of spin bowling as well. JP Duminy and, I don't know, Benkenstein or Colin Ingram. I'm probably, if you go back through the Colpack South Africans, there's like just a bunch of them that are just fantastic that you could pick from.
Yeah, so I think, so I'll finish off at the mini trade, I think, in that same period. Would you trade a Murali Karthik to Australia for one of the seamers? They need a spinner then, right? In the late,
so Warne's retired.
Warne's retired. McGill's injured.
Buggered.
Brad Hogg isn't in their plans. Like, that's the Xavier Doherty era.
So who am I trading back?
From Australia or from India?
From Australia. Who's the seamer that India want? And how strong a seamer do they want is the question.
Would they take Peter Siddle? I think India, Peter Siddle would probably be India's best, along with Zahir Khan. I think it would be a good combo at that point.
But he's a front line. So this is 2007.
Let's say late 2000s, early 2010s.
Is he? He's pretty much in the team though then, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't have a frontline spinner there.
Yeah, but if you're India, if you're Australia, you're going, well, you're giving us a backup and you're taking a frontliner.
Would India give up like a Harbhajan or a Pragyanuja? Pragyanuja is a frontline Indian spinner.
Yeah, Australia won't take him because they thought he chucked.
Okay, what about Bhaji then? Well, was it too old by then?
No, Murali Karthik is the one that you want. I think you picked the right bowler, but I think you picked the wrong Australian bowler. I think you need, if Dougie Bollinger is fit, he's your best choice.
If Dougie Bollinger is fit, would Australia just not play him more?
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Ooh. I think Siddle is the best option because Hilfenhaus, you have Hilfenhaus in that period as well,
Does India take Jackson Bird?
I don't even know how good Jackson Bird is at that point.
He plays his first test in 2012.
Okay.
I think. Okay. What if they give you Jackson Bird, Peter George for Murali Karthik? They don't lose a frontline bowler. Because I don't think Australia's frontline bowling is that strong at that point. Right?
No, what was it? That would be Bollinger, Hilfenhaus, Siddle, I'd imagine.
It was Mitchell Johnson, Siddle, Hilfenhaus.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of.
With Bollinger, Lee's almost done.
Lee's done.
And they don't quite believe in Ryan Harris at that point.
Right.
And James Pattinson has played a fair bit, and I think Stark is starting to play.
But if you're India, would you not argue, we'll give you our third best spinner for your third best seamer?
Is Murali Karthik their best spinner?
Is he not the third best spinner at that point?
Oh, you said third best spinner for third best seamer.
Yes.
I think I would do this trade.
Okay.
I'm not sure Australia would have done this trade. They were gung-ho on Siddle and Hilfenhaus.
Because I think Peter Siddle might be the most stock bowler of all time after in the history of cricket, right?
Yeah. I think if I'm Australia, I'm trying to make a trade of Jackson Bird, Trent Copeland. Who was the other one I said? Peter George.
I wonder if India still take it because they don't have a lot of seamers then.
Because they didn't have a lot of seamers, right?
Yeah, Zahir Khan and Ishan Sharma and then basically anyone.
Right? So maybe you just say, it's either a straight swap. Maybe I want something else. Maybe I want a young spinner.
From India?
If I'm giving up Siddle. Because you're saying third seamer for third spinner, but that's not what's happening here, really. It's automatic bowler in the side for fringe bowler in the side.
That's fair.
How many tests does Murali Karthik even play?
That can't be that many. I don't know if India would do it, but if you're Australia, would you put your eye on Australia at that point, like 2010 period?
Sorry, say that again.
I don't know if India would ever trade him, but around 2010, if you're Australia, would you not want Ashwin? What would you give up for Ashwin if you're Australia?
Yeah. We're assuming that India, you have to tell me what India rates him for. How much do they rate him in 2010, do you think?
He has his great first-class season, and they think he's probably a good, really good bowler. I don't know if they think he's a legendary bowler by then.
I think if I'm Australia, because he can bat a little bit, I'm trading him for Siddle.
Easily, right? I wonder if India want more, right? If you could bat, maybe another seamer on top of that.
Yeah, but that's when can you not then throw in all the flotsam, right?
Yeah.
Of all those other guys that we mentioned before.
It would be a horrible trade by India in hindsight, but they might do it at that point.
Yeah.
If they're desperate.
You're right? Also, they've got Jadeja coming through, yeah?
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
So there must be a part in their head where they're like, they've still got Harbhajan.
Mm.
Right? They've got Harbhajan, Murali, Oja, Jadeja. If they're not too high, if I'm Australia, I bite your hand off for Ashwin, I think, in 2010 because he's tall. So the problem I have with Murali Karthik is he's short.
That's fair.
And right? In Australian wickets, I'd rather have the taller spinner. So at that stage, I'm like, but as I said also, I'm not as high on Siddle as they were. I just think they were a lot higher on Siddle than I was. So it's tough. It also, a lot of this depends on what Australia thinks of Cummins, Hazelwood, Stark and Pattinson, right? And I can tell you, they thought they were all going to be the four best fast bowlers of all time, right? So realistically, getting rid of Siddle and using Ryan Harris in the Siddle role until one of those guys is ready is probably fine. And maybe then, maybe, but if I'm Australia, I'm probably still trying to rinse something else because I'm like, this is our frontline bowler and this is your backup bowler. I'm still trying to rinse something else out of that trade if it's merely Carty. If it's Ashwin, I might just be like, he's tall and he can bat. Fine, we'll take a punt. But he hasn't played cricket, and by that stage, Siddle's taken a lot of test wickets.
That's true. Yeah. It is a gamble, isn't it, at that point? You're Australia, you're gambling on a young talent, right?
Yeah. So maybe even then. I still think if I'm Australia, what I'm really offering is just depth of fast bowling, right? Because Australia's got, you know, guys like McGoffin, who goes off and takes up a billion wickets in county cricket, right? Mm. You could offer India five backup seamers. Who would still might be, as you said, the third and fourth best seamers in some situations.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right, folks, that's all for today.
Oh, my God.
We had a long podcast. I think we had a lot of fun. Make sure to bookmark goodareas.co. It's the one-stop shop for everything Good Areas. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
'Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku, as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.